one day. A very wonderful good morning to all of you listeners to this Because He Lives program. I am Pastor Dwight Saul from the Crane Church of the Nazarene, and over the next few minutes, I will be sharing with you. First of all, we want to say a special thanks to our sponsors, Federal Motor Spares, as well as the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District. Our theme this month surrounds the word love, and today I want to share with you on the topic, love requires an investment. Love requires an investment. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We are grateful for life, and we are appreciative, dear Lord, that we are able to stand, sit, or whatever we are doing this morning on this particular day. And we pray that as we will go into your word briefly, that you will speak to us, that you will enrich our lives this morning, and that you'll be able, dear God, to direct our paths. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes, so as I would have said, our theme for the month is around love. And today I just want to share with you, as God would have led me, looking at love requires an investment. Now, I know that in society right now, especially in February, according to society, it is a month of love. We as Christians will say that we love all through the year, but it is the month of love for some persons. And some persons, they were all in tongue over the weekend, buying teddy bears and chocolates to showcase their love, and roses, some real, some plastic, some in between. They were doing all those things. But today we are not talking about love that is supposed to be contained in a teddy bear. Are we not talking about love that is supposed to be contained in a heart-shaped chocolate? No, we're not talking about love that is supposed to be contained in the petals of a rose. But today we want to talk about love from a biblical standpoint. And we want to look in terms of not only what God would have done for us, but also to what He too also requires from us. So let us begin. So in John 3:16, now we know the scripture by heart, or we should know it. So for any time any pastor says John 3:16, we should already know exactly what that's about. So we know John 3:16, and it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." And I want to pause just right there. For God so loved the world that He gave. So God so loved that He made an investment into this world. So the love of God, the passion, the care, that heart connection that God had for people, it moved Him to make an investment. So love moved God to make an investment. And we see that because the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave." So the giving was as a result of the love. And the investment that He made was His Son. So the action behind the love of God was the investment made into the world by sending Jesus. So even in John 3:16, from those few words, we get to see or to find the glimpses in terms of how love can require an investment, in that God loved, and because He loved, He was willing to invest. But let's even take it a little further, because in the same John chapter 15, verse 13, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, that He laid down His life." And it will pause there again. So greater love has no one than this, that He laid down His life. So the writer then is saying that the love then is measured by the investment the individual is making. And in this context, the investment is the laying down of the life. So we are seeing even within these two verses that love requires an investment. Love requires an action. It is just not saying it. And I think society now has it in such a way that it looks so easy, but it does require an investment. I remember the other day I was watching this program, and it was called Married at First Sight. And there were these individuals who they met the person for the first time at the altar. So they came up the aisle and they met the person for the first time at the altar, and then they got married, and then they would decide after 8 weeks if they wanted to stay married. And there was this one woman, she saw the man and she was like, "My God, oh Lord, the muscles, the hair, the eyes, he is everything that I would ever want. I believe in love at first sight. I believe in love at first sight." She said to all of the persons on the production team, "I love him. I love him. I love him." But When they moved in now the apartment to live now for the 8 weeks, she didn't want to cook. And the reason why she didn't want to cook was not because she couldn't cook, but she told the same man that she said that she was so in love with that his meals were different from the ones that she made. And she was accustomed to only eating hamburgers and hot dogs. And that's all she'll be cooking, hamburgers and hot dogs, because she was not prepared to cook any rice or any chicken or any vegetables for him. Why do I bring this story to you this morning? Because we cannot say that we love beloved and not be prepared to make a level of investment. So let me say this. Love then is not measured simply by the words spoken, but love is truly measured by the investment made. So love is not solely measured by the words spoken, but love is truly measured by the investment made. Let me prove it. Years ago, even before I was born, a man will go to court a woman and she would be inside her house. And he would be outside speaking to her as she sits by the window. The old people used to call it bottling dew. The woman was not in the dew, but it was the man who was receiving all the night's dew on his head as he made the desires of his heart known to her. So back then, the man was making an investment to show his love. Some of them had to walk from one parish to the next because back then they didn't have as many buses as they have now. So his actions and his choice to bottle the Jew was an investment that was made. We fast forward a few years after that and we had pay phones in Barbados. And some persons used to get their money changed into quarters. And they would abide by a payphone for long periods, pushing in quarter after quarter after quarter, because they were making investments towards the one that they love. Fast forward to today, and some persons are cherishing blue ticks in the WhatsApp chat, because each blue tick is a signal of the interest of someone else, or each Twitter post or each Instagram post, or it is a representation of the individual investing in them. What I am saying to us this morning is that love will always require some level of investment, and the level of your investment reveals the depth of your love. The level of your investment reveals the depth of your love. Let's look at something in the secular world just to have a context. Now, people often invest their finances in stocks and bonds or other ventures. So their finances now can be viewed as capital. In other words, it is the thing that they are utilizing to reap rewards. Hence, when persons financially invest, the reward is based on the nature of investment made. For example, some types of investments have a greater reward value, either short-term or long-term, and based on the amount invested. Good. So I know you didn't come or tune in to hear about investments for the Because He Lives program. So let me just show you how it ties into what we're saying. When it comes to our walk with God, our capital is our life. It is us submitting daily to God and being obedient to His word. So in the same way how for these stocks and the bonds and the other ventures, the capital that persons work with will be their finances, for us now as children of God, our capital is our life. That is the thing that we give over to God. That is the thing that we say, Father, I surrender unto you. I submit unto you. I give over to you. It is saying, Lord, we have been sinners, yes, and we need your cleansing, forgiveness, and infilling by your spirit to be in a spiritual place that will be pleasing to him. So our capital is not a Sunday morning. I will say it again, our capital is not a Sunday morning. It is not simply a Bible study attendance. It is not just coming to church at Easter or coming to church at Christmas or coming to church at All Year's Night. These things are not the capital. And this is important because some persons think that just because they came to church, it means that God is pleased. It means that, yes, God is up there in heaven rejoicing. You came to church one Sunday. But the question is, does God have your life? Does God have all of you? Does God have everything. Because just because we come into church, it does not mean that we are following or behaving in the way that God wants us to be. And this is important, beloved, because in Matthew 15:8, the Bible says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." So this tells me then that Jesus cannot be fooled. So we can't even fool God with church attendance. We can't fool God with Bible study attendance. We can't fool God by even saying we went to all 52 Sundays in the year, if that year had any 52, because God has full access to our thinking. And what God really wants is that he wants full access to our capital. And our capital is our life. He wants us to give him everything. So our proclamations for God, our declarations for God has to be that we are saying, "God, take all of me. This is the capital that I bring for you. Here's my investment. Just don't only take me on Sunday, but take me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all down through the week. Take me when I'm in my community. Take me when I am on my job. Take me when I am in school. Take me when I'm driving the car and some person does something crazy on the road. Take me when somebody gossips about me. Take me when somebody does wrong against me. Take me when I am walking through the shadows of life. Take me." In other words, God, take this life. The Lord wants us as Christians to be completely surrendered to him. He wants full access to our capital, beloved. And our capital really is our life. Hear me. We cannot say that we love God, but then can't find time to pray to him, because love requires an investment. We cannot say we love God, but yet it is too much work for us to be kind or show kindness to others, because love requires an investment. We cannot say we love him and yet are too busy to spend time in his presence, to spend time in worship, to spend time in meditation, to spend time in his word, meditating on the things that he would have said in his word, because love requires an investment. And God is looking at us and said, "Hey, what are you willing to invest? How are you investing in this relationship?" Tell me this, beloved. Tell me a relationship that will survive if the parties involved are not willing to invest their time in each other. In the same way, we cannot expect for our relationship with God to flourish without an investment from our end. There has to be an investment, and it just can't be, "Well, Pastor Dwight, I got saved and I am no longer a sinner. I serve God." Okay, we are happy. That is good, but there is more. It's just not saying, "Yes, I got saved," but it's, "No, dear Lord, what will you require me to do? What is there in me that you still need to work on? Where it is that you may wish me to go?" And I know at times these questions are difficult ones, because we don't necessarily want God to direct us in ways that we may not necessarily want to be in, or to go to places that we necessarily may not want to go. But the thing is, if I am giving my life to him and I invest my life in him, I have to trust him to be able to direct. Because understand this, we invest in the things that matter to us. I will say that again. We as people invest in the things that matter to us. Let me show you. In Matthew 6:19-21, it reads, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Focus on that last part. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We invest in the things that we like. So for some people, it may be their body. For others, it could be clothes. For some, it could be an extracurricular activity. But we invest in the things that we like. Therefore, when we refuse to make an investment in the relationship that we have with Christ, we then run the risk of that relationship not being as strong or even present as it should, because the Lord is well aware of where our heart condition is. We invest in the things that we like. The things that we like, we try to understand. The things that we like, we spend time doing. The things that we like, we get ourselves involved in. So if we say that we love God, beloved, we then have to ensure that we invest, because love requires an investment. We often want that when we pray, God responds. I don't know about you, but I know that when I pray, I am really wanting God to respond. If God could respond within at least 5 minutes of the prayer, I would say, thank you, God. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like God takes a little time in responding. But when we pray, we want God to respond. We want that when trouble comes, that the angels of the Lord encampeth. We want that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Lord will raise a standard against him. But the question is, what are we investing? I learned something about capital and investments that I found to be instrumental. The level of the reward will always be contingent on the amount put in. When I say reward, I mean from your bonds or shares, etc. The reward is contingent on the amount you invest. Do you also know that the same thing is true with Christ? In that the level of your reward is based on how much we invest? God responds to investment. I will say that again for emphasis. God responds to investment. When Paul and Silas were in the prison and the jail shook and the chains fell off as they were worshiping, it did not happen because the Lord had nothing to do. It occurred because God responds to investment. When Hezekiah heard that he was about to die, the Bible said he turned his face to the wall and cried out to God and said, Lord, oh, how I walked with you faithfully and served you with wholehearted devotion. And the Lord turned the prophet around, and Hezekiah got 15 more years to live. He could only tell God so because he knew that he made investments into his spiritual growth, and God responds to investment. When the tax collectors came to Peter and accused him that his master Jesus did not pay the tax, he went to Jesus and Jesus said to him, go and fish. And the first fish you get, you will find a 4 drachma coin. Use it, pay my tax and yours. These kinds of miracles are not random, beloved, but they happen to those who are willing to invest their lives into the hand of God. We cannot say we love him and then are not prepared to make any investments into the relationship we have with him. Beloved, love of God and love for God and towards God requires an investment. And my simple question for us today is, what is your investment? Maybe you have been distant from him and not as connected as you needed to be. Maybe the pressures of life have caused you to be so overwhelmed that you have not reached out for him. You may be here and you thought church attendance was all that you needed to actually do. But today you're understanding that he requires all of you. This morning, I want to challenge you to do your own introspection. And if you know there are areas that you can improve on, let's bring them before the Lord this morning. Think of all the things that his love has done for us. Reflect on the mercy that we have received because of his love. Do you remember how God brought you out? We weren't perfect, but his love lifted us out. His love carried us. His love was the one thing that we could depend on. Thus, in response to that level of love, what is your investment? What is our investment? Because love will always require an investment. He wants us to invest all in him and to him. Beloved, he is the best soil for us to sow in. And as his word says, if we remain in him, he also will remain in us. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you this morning for your word. And Father, we pray that even if we have acknowledged this morning through introspection that we may not be investing as much as we should, I pray today, dear God, that those areas that you will bring to light, that we will say, Father, I surrender all. Father, take my heart. Take me and mold me. So Father, be with us continually. In Jesus' name, amen. So beloved, I thank you for tuning in to this program. And as this song plays, I pray that it will uplift you. I pray that it will bless you. And on behalf of the District Superintendent of the Church of the Nazarene, I thank you for being part of this program. And I wish you a most amazing day. Be blessed.
See, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Oh, so deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. Him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises ring. Love so mighty, love so true, merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to him belong. Oh, love lifted me, Jesus, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love. Completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, the billows his will obey. 'Cause he's your savior, wants to be saved today. 'Cause love lifted me, your love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Hallelujah, love, it lifted me. It's your love that's lifted, that's lifting me. When nothing else could help, your love lifted me. Hallelujah, love, it lifted me. Your love lifted me. See, when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Thank you.
see where nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful. And my song shall ever be. How wonderful, how miraculous is my Savior's love for me. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner, a wretch, unclean. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my soul shall ever be. Oh, shall ever be. How wonderful, how marvelous is my Savior's love for me. Is his love for me.